been living on the edge of life, doing our best to try and survive, and the people in charge will know we've arrived, 'cause we're living on the edge of life. Taking to the streets, a few victories and defeats. In the end, it's the people who decide. With just a few sticks and stones, after the banks have closed our homes, all we have left is our pride. We've been living on the edge of life, doing our best to try and survive, and the people in charge will know we've arrived, 'cause we're living on the edge of life. Carry our signs, stand in long lines. The 99% are here to stay. With the police on our tail, protecting too big to fail. It'll take more than a few cans of pepper spray. We've been living on the edge of life, doing our best to try and survive, and the people in charge know we've arrived, 'cause we're living on the edge of life. We will occupy your hearts and occupy your minds. We will rise up and finally have our say. The way things are now are gonna have to change somehow. It's up to us if we wanna have our day. We've been living on the edge of life, doing our best, try and survive, and the people in charge know we've arrived, 'cause we're living on the edge, living on the edge, yeah, we're living on the edge of life.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World, right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happiness. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World Primetime on a Thursday afternoon, man. How's it going, Peter?
It's going all right.
Our guest today is going to be Tana Frederick, and I think this is her calling in, so let's just get right to it.
Cool.
Hello, is this Tana?
Yes, it is.
How you doing?
How are you guys doing? Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. I hear you're not feeling well today, huh?
Oh, it's just a little cough. No, actually, the story behind it is I finally, you know, I've been training for the marathon, the LA marathon. So I ran the marathon, but the whole time I've been jonesing to get in the water, in the ocean. And, you know, I run the nonprofit Project Save Our Surf. And
right.
The reason why I do it is because finally I got into the water on Monday and I had a great surf. It, like, nice faces, like 5 foot faces, had fun. And of course I get out. And then later that day I get a cold, you know. And so these are why I do these things. So it's okay. It's like, you know, I was a soldier for the dirty water of the Santa Monica Bay, and I had my fun, and I knew what I would get myself into, and hopefully I'll be good in time for my show tomorrow. And but yeah, so it's just a little something something from the dirty sewage of Santa Monica.
Yeah, it gets stirred up, and you know, we have that down here, especially. I used to go surfing in the Seal Beach Jetty, and if you go there any time after a rainstorm, well, you just don't.
Yeah.
You just don't. It's bottom line.
And I was supposed to go to Seal Beach on Monday. I was like, I don't know. I just don't think I can handle, like, 3 hours at Seal Beach. But Seal Beach is actually, I think, cleaner for the most part than Santa Monica water, just because it's not a bay. It's not, like, you know, the water doesn't get trapped in there.
Right.
But it would have been like I was either going to drive down and surf in Seal Beach for 3 hours or surf in Santa Monica for like 45 minutes, and I wasn't used to the cold. So I was like, I'll just do Santa Monica things. I'm not ready for the cold. So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, let this plane go by, and then tell us a little. You know, last time we talked, excuse me, you were preparing. I think you were coming off the one woman show, and you were preparing.
Definitely not a one woman show.
Okay.
No, I was just starring. I was just starring in it, so you couldn't really notice any of the other actors. Just kidding. God, you guys always get me so feisty. I'm not normally a jerk. I just act like one on your show.
Okay, I can remember. She was playing. You were playing a dog,
right?
Right.
And you were getting ready to, or
man's
just
best friend.
You were just getting ready to, or just finished working with. I always call him Montesanti. What's his real name?
So after that, I decided to be completely insane and direct. I was like, commercial, running a year, whatever. People loving my work. Let me direct a lesbian show that's going to go over fabulously and is completely abstract in Los Angeles. And let's see how that does. Yeah, I'm ready for that. So I directed a four-woman show out here, and it actually is amazing material. And Barbara Bain is in it. You know, she won several Emmys for, she was in the original Mission Impossible, married to Marty Landau, and she is a force of nature. I mean, I love her, and she's just great. And so there's two other women in the show, and I'm in the show as well, so, and I've never directed, and I did this show in 1996 in college, and it kind of just stuck with me since then, the words and the concepts and stuff like that. And it's very, very cool show. Like, I really dig it, but and it's gotten it, we got great review from the LA Times, luckily, and from Huffington Post, and you know, but there are, it has been it's a fairly contentious play. I mean, it's very abstract, and it's like a big prose piece, you know, because it's just like one big poem about two lesbians and mother and daughters and concepts about women and their bodies, and you know, but I did add on to the show a 5-piece male band, because I was like, this is a lot of exercise right here for like women to be bringing their man friends too. So I do have a really cool 5-piece male jazz band that is phenomenal. Original score, like a beautiful theme songs for each of the characters, and I really dig what I've done. It's gotten some really crazy, like bad reviews from bloggers. You know, it's funny. I don't read blogging. You know, I try not to read blogging reviews for movies or plays or anything, because
right.
It's like, you don't know what kind of freak could be sitting in there.
In the basement.
You know, right? Like, you just don't know, like, what's going on with those or who's writing them. But this one was just so bad. And for the most part, they were good, so I was okay with reading this one. And this one said, and I'm like, I swear to God, I'm gonna copy this. I'm gonna send it out in my Christmas cards. Said this play, if this play were a dog, it would bite your neighbor's kid in the face. I was like, I will never in my life, hopefully, get anything as bad written about any piece of art that I do, and that is friggin' awesome. He's gonna like take a picture of me like surfing in the Santa Monica Bay naked right after, like, in a rainstorm as the sewage is pouring out into a wave. That'll be my Christmas card with that quote underneath it. That's just it. That's, we're done. Boom. Merry Christmas.
Let me ask you this. As a director, do you have a new appreciation for directors now?
Oh, my God, yeah. I'm like, I'm a really bad actor. I'm too funny. I'm never asking the director any questions ever again. I do. I mean, you are really the mother of the ship, and you have to answer everything. I mean, I during rehearsals as an actor before, I've done so many plays now, because I started doing theater when I was 8, and when I get there, don't get me wrong, I work really hard, but you do appreciate those moments where the director is working with another actor and he's going off on a tangent and you're just kind of sitting there staring at the corner of, like, the theater ceiling, and, you know, your nice little moment where you're just drifting off and you're like, oh, I don't have to think about anything. And you don't get those moments as a director. It's like everybody you have to answer questions all the time from everybody about everything,
yeah,
about the set, and be responsible for absolutely everything. And this is a given. I mean, obviously, when you sign on to direct, it's very obvious. But I didn't quite get what the enormity of the responsibility was going to be until, you know, 2 weeks into the show, and I was like, oh, my God, why?
Well, why? So then the follow-up to that is, are you going to be directing again in the future?
No. Oh, no. I won't say that. I've actually learned so much, and I've learned, it's been a really great, like, personal journey as well for me to be, you know, stronger as a person. And, but, you know, I really appreciate directors and their jobs, and I might, if I find the piece that's right, I might, but all in all, I really like being directed, and I don't like being, you know, I don't like helming the ship.
Yeah.
I do not like it. But I liked helming this one, because I did have, it was just kind of it was a bucket list type thing, because I had this play I just couldn't get out of my head, and I couldn't, and I really wanted to do it in this weird Terry Gilliam kind of way, so that it wasn't just stagnant, because I'd seen other performances of this play done where the women just sat and read the material, or they were just put in different positions, like in a black box stage, and just said the monologue. I mean, it's full of monologues. It's
right.
Just four women saying a lot of, not to say that's not lovely too, but I had this, you know, but I've kind of staged it so that it's, It is very Terry Gilliam. It's the Adventures of Baron von Munchausen meets Alice in Wonderland, you know, on acid. And that was my concept, and that was a really fun concept, you know, with a five-piece male band. So I really had a strong concept going into this, and I really just needed to do it in my life. So now that I've done that, maybe something will hit me upside the head, and I'll say, oh, I really need to do that. And we'll see. We'll see, but... No, not in the next year, anyway.
Now, you've been getting a lot of write-ups for your acting work. You had a little thing from, was it Liz Smith, Page Six, right?
I mean, my acting work has been solid. From which Page Six, sorry? Ocean Water.
I think I saw something about several weeks ago. There was something that she kind of mentioned you in. I have to find it.
Oh yeah.
I thought you tweeted it out actually.
Listen, this PR. You tweeted. Okay. I know, I didn't even hear the name. Yes, okay, that was pretty cool. That was Syndicate. Yeah, that was syndicated. Liz Smith, right?
She's
a big, she's like our last of the 40s writers, like Hedda Hopper,
yes.
Right? And she said something about, you know, I'll take these shots where I can get them, because I think I was in the article with like Madonna and Cher, and I'm starstruck. I'm from Iowa. This is the biggest article I think I've been included with, the biggest names I've been included with, and she liked my gumption,
yeah.
If you will, you know, and so I was stoked, man. I did. I sent that out to everybody. Because that was printed up in like Chicago Tribune or something. And it was awesome. It was so awesome. It was like, she's like a gossip columnist, yet she's in newspapers. So it's like better than being in Us Weekly. It's more cred than being in Us Weekly, but it's like still at that same level.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's awesome. I was really excited about that. Yeah, that was fun. I like that kind of stuff. It's not, I have to say, I really dig this stuff. I've done enough of the, going to the University of Iowa and being in the writer's program and being in all the, let's take this seriously, you know, doing all the new play work that was very, very crazy and curious, and you know, I just did a lot of crazy work from the writers program and the theater grad program. There was such great art, but there are times where you just don't want to take things seriously, and it's fun to not take art seriously and just love the sort of juicy, lame part of it, which is the stuff like being written up in gossip columns.
Exactly.
It's great. I mean, I don't know why people, you know, complain about it. I suppose when you're at a point where it gets annoying, or maybe you just have to say that so you don't look like a jackass. I really dig it. I won't lie. I dig it.
Absolutely. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, your guys' turn. I've been talking your ear out.
Now, how much longer is your play still running? Right, you're still going, or has it run its course yet?
Well, actually, we've gotten extended, which is cool.
Yeah.
And Karen Black stepping in for Barbara Bain, so for the role of my mother. So, so that'll be great. You guys know Karen Black.
I know the name.
She was. Well, there's a band called The Real Karen Black, but I've known Karen Black for a long time. I think it's so cool she has a band named after her, but she did a lot of, she did a lot of horror films, like Roger Corman films, The Hand, and she has the best horror scream of all time. But she's a brilliant actress as well. And she was in the original Great Gatsby. And she's a great actress, and I can't wait for her to interpret this role. And going back in to direct her as the part, I was like, oh, I forgot. I still have to direct if I put another actor in. I'm not out of the woods yet. So I am going to be running it for another 4 weeks, and then I go to film in Iowa with this program this thing that I started, my little monster called Project Cornlight, which is have you guys been to the Midwest or from the Midwest originally or
not from? I've driven through Iowa a couple times.
I've flown over. I've driven through. I love that. Okay.
So, I was in Iowa for 2 weeks at one point.
Well, you know, is Oklahoma in the Midwest? Some people say
I think it is.
My parents are from Oklahoma, so we used to go there every summer to visit my grandparents, but I've never lived there.
Okay. Yeah. It's like one of those states just squished in there. It starts with a vowel.
Yeah.
People get them mixed up all the time. It counts.
Okay, I think anything between the Rockies and the Appalachians is the Midwest.
Makes sense.
Right?
Yeah. All right, cool. Okay. So Hollywood, they started making films in Iowa, which is my home state, and they started, the film industry kind of made it a sort of proverbial Canada. You know, where the tax incentives were great there, the land was, you know, great. They started making a lot of movies there, like Splice and a whole bunch of other films, and then there was this big thing that happened with somebody buying a luxury car, and there was this big fraud thing, and then everybody got mad, and then the whole industry pulled out of there, and, you know, so Iowa was bummed because it was like their turn to be a part of something, you know, and be acknowledged as a state, not just for being the first state that has the caucuses, right? So they were stoked, and then everybody left. But all in all, they weren't. It's not like when the films were being made there. It's not like Iowa was really getting chosen for. You know, there weren't a lot of local hires at all, and because we're still talking about like big budget films being made out there, so. Anyway, I'm very keen on the state, and I'm very keen on the people who taught me there and the people who are hungry for art and who persevere, you know, and stay and do art throughout their lives there, to do theater. Like, I know people who have done theater their whole lives, and yeah, maybe they're doctors, but their whole thing was community theater. More likely their wives were in community theater their whole lives, but still it's this amazing bunch of artists, and I was lucky enough to then fed there and by these people who were encouraging. And long story short, I decided why not start a film program there, and call it. I already have a film festival there that's been running 6 years, which is really cool, and started some people making some films, some great feature films and some great documentary films, and went on there for to submit them to all across to Without a Box and like all across the United States and stuff, and have done really well. But this project is going to be called Project Cornlight, kind of like Project Greenlight.
Yeah.
And it's the first film that we're filming is called, we have a queue of films lined up, and the first one is called called The Farm. And it's written by a gentleman, he's actually a friend of my family's, and he's 75, and he's written 20-some screenplays, and this is the first screenplay that he has actually had greenlit, which is so cool. I mean, it's awesome when you think about it. And so we're, this first project that we're doing, we're filming it for 2 weeks. The budget is $100,000, I'm flying out there. Some people who came from Iowa and are now out here working just for the leading roles, for maybe four roles, and the rest lead roles are going all to local Iowans. So we've been holding auditions all across the state. And then I'm bringing my DP, director of photography, from here, and the director from here. But other than that, we're going all local hire. So it's going to be all state surrounded filming, and it's just people are so excited, and I am so excited because I think it's going to be amazing, and the story is amazing. I mean, it's just like the guys who are in it, Riley Smith, who's been on several TV shows, he's just really excited to go back and like film in his home state, and Bill West, who's a Calvin Klein model. Those are the two guys who are my love interest in it, and they're excited to go back and like film where they grew up. And Tom Bauer, who was in The Waltons, and he's a journeyman actor, he's in Die Hard 2, and he's a really just, he's going to be playing my grandfather, and the story is about this granddaughter who's been into meth and stuff like that, and she ends up coming back and trying to get her grandfather to stay out of the nursing home and essentially die on his, you know, on his farm, which is very similar to my grandfather's story, except I didn't do meth and go back and help him out, which which is a good thing. But you know, it's a good story. It's a very good story. And so we're really excited about this. So that's where I'm heading next, is to Iowa to do that. Yeah. I'm really excited about it because I think the attitude is a lot different in the Midwest, in Oklahoma, in such places. People are very humble about themselves, and they're very humble in a different way that there's almost like a putting down of oneself, like don't get too big for your britches type attitude, you know, that prevents them from taking risks and going after their dreams, and, you know, and so I'm hoping through this, I'll bring it to them, bring the risk-taking to them, and, you know, there'll be some cool people finding their life and their dreams and pursuing them after this project and far beyond after this project. So
Excellent.
That's what's on the board.
I don't know how you do all the things you do. I mean, because you're cleaning the water and you're running film festivals and
you're directing
and you're acting and now you're putting on, you're actually putting on a production where it's actually going to be all filmed and you're holding auditions and all these kinds of things. How do you do and accomplish so many things?
Pretty much.
I tweak for about 5 days in a row. Crash out on the weekend.
Yeah, it helps. I don't know. I don't know how I do it either. Meth is very interesting. You know, you get moms and dads on meth. I don't know why I'm going down this path, but why not take it with me? Moms and dads on meth actually started in Iowa. Like when I was leaving Iowa to come out here, Iowa was like the number one hotbed in the United States for meth, because of, you know, they had access to all of the farming chemicals, and because it's windy, and because you have these places that are isolated in the middle of corn beds, cornfields, and nobody can find, you know, where you are, and so on and so forth, and all these, like, you would think Iowa, oh, we just do keggers in the cornfields, but it started to be a real problem. I mean, it didn't start, it was already, and I don't know. So I've had family members go through, you know, problems with addictions, and it's a nasty drug that really takes its toll. I'm just trying to redeem myself for saying the meth joke right now.
Yeah, and I can't follow up with one because you just took it to, you wound it down. Oh my gosh! You know, I know you're short on time, but tell everybody once again how they can find everything they want to know about Tana Frederick and your play and all those kinds of things.
Well, the play is at Edgemar Center for the Arts, and it's called Why We Have a Body. And though it is about lesbian love and mothers and daughters, we do have a 5-piece male jazz band, so it's equal for it's exciting for both sexes, we'll put it that way. you can go on edgemarcenterforthearts.com for that, and then Project Cornlight, that should be up soon in case you're interested in funding it, putting some money into.
You're having a separate website for that, or is it like on Indiegogo?
Yeah,
or something
Project
like that?
projectcornlight.com, I think, but it's not up. It should be up in the next week.
Okay.
And then my website's just tanafrederick.com, and then projectsavearthur.org is the nonprofit that we have, and that we always hope everybody becomes involved with, because it's not just about getting involved with the Santa Monica Bay. We're doing projects in Orange County. We're actually the project that's going to be really fun for this summer. Even if you guys want to come out and help, you guys are down south, right?
Yeah,
you guys near
Long Beach.
So, have you heard of Inside the Outdoors? Right on. Well, there's a children's organization called Inside the Outdoors, which is a really cool organization that takes kids to camp, and we're partnering with them. And so we're taking 65 kids to camp. Project Save Our Surf is running. It's called Project Save Our Surf Camp. And we're taking 65 inner-city kids into the Santa Monica Mountains, teaching them basically through the heart versus the head, giving them hands-on like science projects and hiking and lessons about our environment and conservation. So we're really excited about that, and that's going to be. You know, we're inviting adults to come out, wear T-shirts, interact with, you know, help, like, teach the kids.
Yeah.
So if you guys, it's going to be a really cool program. And that's an Orange County-based nonprofit inside the outdoors that is really, does amazing things. So we love working with them and bringing them up in this area as well. So that's going to be happening in July, and basically, I think it's some ridiculous number, like $100 sends one of these kids to camp for 7 days. So these kids who normally wouldn't be able to have this camping experience as one of their summer activities gets to go out camping, which is one of the coolest things that I did as a kid, and I'm sure. You guys did as kids, and so if you want to donate to that, that's on projectsaveourturf.org. And then also we are taking 25 water filters to Nicaragua right now to distribute them to villages that don't have fresh water. And so 25 fresh water filters, it's only actually like $1,500. And that is going to provide a lot of people. I think it's somewhere around like 700 people with fresh water in these villages. So we've got some cool projects going on between teaching kids about our lovely wildlife out here and providing some families and children with fresh water that don't have access to clean water. So if you want to check out projectsaverfierce.org, that's my baby organization that's been going on for a while. So that's that would mean a lot if you stop on there and check it out and help take a kid to camp this summer.
Awesome.
Yeah, that sounds good. Awesome.
You know, Tana, you know, it's always a great time talking to you, and just always amazed at all the things you do.
I always end up laughing with you guys, like, no matter what kind of a mood I'm in, sick or not sick. I laugh harder with you guys than, like, anybody, so I just love being on the show. Please always bring me back. I'm literally, like, my mascara is, like, running down my face, and I'm laughing so hard after I get off your show. I'm just like, I don't know those guys.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, in a good way. In a good way. I look scary, but it's a good way.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and get well, and best of luck to everything you do. And you know, we're gonna try to keep in touch, and I want to get involved in a couple of things you're talking about. Sounds very
yeah.
Cool.
I would love for you to come up to the kids' camp, and I would love for you to come to my lesbian play as well.
Absolutely.
Whichever one tickles your fancy. Or both.
Absolutely. Put me down for both.
There you go. Okay.
Oh, great. Well, you have a wonderful day.
You guys have a great afternoon. Thank you so much for
Feel
cheering
better.
Up mine. All right.
Thanks a lot.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Tana Frederick, everybody, and definitely check her out. You know, you can go to swoopsworld.com and then see where her the post is about her, and then links right to her website. And man, she stays busy, brother.
Yeah, man, that's a lot of work type of stuff. You know, directing is a ton of work, and
she's always out there doing the good deeds too, man.
And then doing all that stuff in Iowa, that's got to be tough.
Yeah,
just logistics. Yeah, just like being in the right place and organizing things. Yeah, you know, we've organized stuff. You didn't have to do it in another state, at least. And that's
hard enough doing it, you know, on the other side of the city.
Yeah,
so. No, that's awesome.
Very
that's
impressive.
Totally awesome.
Very impressive.
We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk a little bit more. Here's this with Swoops World on the Talk Story Radio Network. This is Channel 3. One more for all my true friends.
One ball for all my two friends. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29, and thanks to my college degree, I'm a systems analyst. And the college me would tell you,
I wouldn't be here without big brothers, big sisters. My big brother believed in me, and to a 7-year-old,
that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil, and Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
This is Daddy Dewdrop. Every Wednesday night.
I asked about the chick, but what they said was free. Chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom. Don't you just love it? Chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom. Don't you just love it?
And welcome back to Swoops World on the Talk Story Radio Network, where we're always interactive, live, and archived. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You can always find every show we have archived on SwoopsWorld.com or download them for free from iTunes, as well as the Swoops World iPhone app. Well, good times with Tana, huh?
Yeah, she's always a great interview and just a funny person.
Yeah.
Doing good work. And she's an infectious laugh.
She does make me laugh. Yeah. Does make me laugh.
We'll have to get her here one day in the studio. That'd
yeah, be kind of fun. Down to the studio here.
Close enough that you might be able to work that out one day.
Yeah, she's too busy.
True. Very true.
Maybe we can catch her on her, you know, ride down to the Seal Beach or something.
Yeah.
To have her stop by for there a few minutes. There we go. So last night was crazy night, huh?
Yeah.
A fireside band with Phil and Tony called in from Ohio.
Ohio.
And we played some of their songs. And then we had Cena, a medicine sitting in as guest co-host amongst the crowd, and T-Bone brought some family members. So
that's right,
big crowd here in the studio.
Yeah,
covered a lot, and yeah, it was interesting.
Definitely interesting. It wasn't dull.
So I get it. You got to check this out, man, because you know we like to ride. You ride far more than I do. Our bikes, right?
Uh-huh.
Did you see this?
No.
It's a police high-speed chase with a bicyclist, and he's drafting the cars in front of him.
Uh-huh.
And they said he got up to 60-plus miles an hour.
Whoa.
Before they actually caught him.
That is scary. Well, the thing about that is drafting, too. I mean, you're moving that fast.
Yeah. And it's raining.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're moving that fast, you know, the guy in front of you stops.
Yeah.
You're...
Whew. It's in the Czech Republic, and this is the dashboard cam. And I think that's you got to check it out if you're in the chat room. The link is in the and it's on the chat line. You can see him right there between the two cars. He's just hauling butt. He passes one truck I saw not on this video, but a different video I saw on the news this morning. It's probably the same video, but they had edited it. The guy's just hauling butt on a bike. He's pedaling his ass off, too.
Yeah, he is. I've gotten up near that speed, but not drafting. Just going downhill.
Downhill, yeah.
And that's sketchy, you know, because I was going so fast, I was actually passing cars as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was back in my youth. It's not something I would do now. I just, you know, woo. That is crazy stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I want to take that chance, man. Especially in the rain. Because there's one part where they showed this morning where he actually, you know, they come up to a Y in the road.
Uh-huh.
And at the last second, he blazes to the left. And they can't keep up with him. He's passing that truck, a dark truck. I might be a little bit ahead of you.
Wow.
And just seeing he's just pedaling, and he's got 58 kilometers right there.
Oh,
I don't know what he was wanted for. He looks like a regular cyclist, so they probably were getting him for you know, just being in traffic or something.
Right.
But he makes a cut coming up where you're at now.
Yeah.
He's gonna make a cut that they can't make, and they'll parallel him for a little bit.
Oh my God! And there's a lot of rain.
That's a ton of rain.
I mean, it's not like a downpour, but it's enough rain that if he were to hit that one of those paint lines at the wrong angle,
yeah.
Woo! That was ballsy. Holy. I'm going to catch you here.
Oh, man. Watch it. There it goes.
This is awesome.
I know. You can't see it. You have to be able to see it. So.
He crashed.
He crashed. Yeah, he came back across the road. I thought you'd appreciate that.
That was awesome, man. You guys my hero.
Oh, gosh. You got any crazy stories?
Oh, here? I got some crazy stories, yeah. Yeah, I got, well, this is an odd one. This guy in Mobile, Alabama. So there's two homeless guys. They're hanging out near the river. And one of them sees a cottonmouth snake in the creek. Right there, I'm like, well, if it's in the creek, what do they always tell you? If you leave it alone, it'll leave you alone.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's already broken rule number one. Leave the damn thing alone. But here's what also had me a little concerned, is that this guy grabs his machete. So he's a homeless guy with a machete. It's another problem. And he runs to the creek, lops his head off, and, you know, the cottonmouth, and brings it up to his buddy. His buddy, this is where it gets really weird, sticks his finger in the snake's mouth. Apparently the thing is dead, but it can still bite. It's not dead dead. It's only mostly
dead.
That's
like when you chop a chicken's head off, man.
Right. So guess what the snake's head did?
It bit him.
It bit him.
Yeah. Did it kill him?
It didn't kill him. He kind of was like, oh, no big deal. Then all of a sudden he starts, like, his hand starts to swell. He starts to have, like, you know, showing signs that the toxins are... And so then they call the paramedics, and he was treated, and he lived. But
not the best and the brightest of Mobile, Alabama.
No, there, huh? No, stop putting a good face on Mobile, Alabama. You know, and, you know, seriously, just too many rules were broken there. Starting with, just leave the damn thing alone. Now, if it's coming at you, okay, you got to protect yourself.
They're homeless. Can you eat cottonwood?
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking they were going to do that so they could eat it. Because if you cut off the head, that's where all the venom is. Then you could eat. I don't know what it tastes like, but I've had snake before.
Yeah.
Snake is okay.
I've had rattle.
Yeah, you know, it's okay, but it's like, it doesn't sound like that's what they're doing. I mean, they don't ever really say it. He says because he saw it swimming, he decided to go kill it. That's what it says. Now, I don't know, maybe...
So there's really no food need or anything.
It didn't sound like it. It just sounded like these guys...
Let's go kill the snake.
Uh-huh. Now here's this other one, and this one is just creepy weird. This is in Louisiana, okay, somewhere near New Orleans, right? And not actually in New Orleans. It says here, St. Tammany Parish Coroner's Office is where all this. Basically, in a Slidell area home, March 6th. So this is not too long ago. Charles Fisher, 83, was found in an ice chest.
An ice chest,
yeah. His hands had been cut off. I don't know exactly what killed him, but here's the creepiest part of the whole thing. That's pretty creepy, right? The chest belonged to his daughter, Deborah Fisher, who has been arrested in connection with the incident. When they found the body, they estimated he'd been dead for anywhere from 6 months to 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And she's 58.
Is that her?
There she is. Good looking girl. Yeah. There. Well, she could be one of the orcs in like Lord of the Rings right there, man. Paint her face green. So I'm not entirely surprised. You know how they have like people look like their dogs,
yeah,
that sort of thing?
Yeah.
And then they'll do those pictures, yeah, where the face and the dog next to each other and you're like, oh yeah, we could probably do something like that with criminals. The face and the crime committed, because this fits.
It does.
Anyhow, so this body was in there, they think, as long as 2 years.
160 quart ice chest, and
well, she collected a social security or something.
Yeah, now we don't know why she cut off her hands. They think maybe because to get fingerprints, but you could do that without cutting off his hands because they're only going to be good for so long. It's like fruit, you know.
If it's rehydrated a little bit.
And then her roommate, who's only
she's living with somebody.
Yeah, Heidi Todd is 44. She's also been arrested. They've been arrested and charged with unlawful disposal of remains and tampering with, you know, deceased bodies. Disinterring human remains is what they've been charged with. They don't know if they killed him or he just croaked and then they just hit him. But, you know, when they found it, all there was a mummified, liquefying skeleton.
Oh, God.
I got to ask you, that had to smell.
The question
that is... That just had to smell.
What brought upon the situation where they found it? I mean, what happened?
That's not really clear here how they found it. When I read the thing, I kept wondering that, too. It just talks about how it was found in a one-story apartment building. But it doesn't say... In this article, it doesn't say why or how they found it, just where and the condition under which it was found.
It's amazing. Amazing. I've heard stories about people who murder people and then put them in, ice chest or whatever container.
Yeah.
And rent a storage unit and then forget to pay
And
it goes to auction.
Well, that's like that happened not too long in L.A. where... There's a famous older building that was being renovated.
Yes. And they had,
the chests that had been stored there. And one of the chests belonged to someone. They knew it had belonged to a family.
He was a doctor.
And inside the chest was two mummified babies.
Yeah.
And so that was...
Yeah.
And they're not sure how that... Yeah, I think I remember hearing they tracked down who the person was.
Well,
that was it, remember?
They've been long deceased.
They've been long deceased, but they tracked down who the person was. Mm-hmm. But one of the things was, originally, that they thought it was the daughter or the wife of the guy who wrote Peter Pan. Remember that?
Right.
Somehow there was a connection to Barry. Barry's his name.
Yeah.
And I think they ascertained that it was actually that woman.
I think the first thing, you're right. They were kind of renovating, and like a maid or cleaning lady found the chest,
right?
And they were able to.
And then it was auctioned.
And they were able to date it back because of the paper, the newspapers, whatever was inside with it.
Uh-huh.
And it went back to the early 1900s.
Yeah, it was like definitely like the 30s.
Yeah,
somebody
who was pretty well off too.
Really well off.
Yeah.
And they think she was a nurse.
Yeah.
And that she'd had an affair with. And anyhow, so it's probably worth looking up just to find out like what actually they finally figured out about it all. But anyhow, you hear about that. So I don't know. I don't think that's what happened in this. I suspect these upstanding individuals finally got caught.
Yeah, somebody did
collecting Social Security, and somebody said, I haven't seen Bob or whatever the guy's name was.
Stop by.
Yeah, let's check and see how he's doing. He's collecting his checks.
Yeah, it started off with you want a beer? Yeah, it's, grab one over there. And they opened up the wrong
chair.
Oh, man.
I told you, the one on the right.
But you're right. I mean, it had to be putrid.
Yeah, it must have. I mean, because I guess, those things are pretty tight. If you sealed it with like something like tape, like duct tape type, packed it. I suppose it would contain it, but
it
seems like...
It depends on how long, because you take the decomposition part and then the bath... Because, in a lot of places, you have these people that kind of have a dead body in place.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. Have you ever gone to the beach? It's the end of the summer. You're done. You put your cooler up in the...
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And then it's getting hot, and you're like, we got to get the cooler, and you open it up. And you left a strawberry in there. And you almost dead. Right? You almost, pass out at that smell. Okay, we're not talking strawberries. I mean, I just got to believe that this was...
Yeah. You're grabbing, but once you break that little suction...
Yeah, you're like, bam!
I'm sure that they probably, that smell's never going to go away.
I tell you what, whoever found that is, they're ruined.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Their life as they once knew it is over. Oh, my gosh. Especially when you describe it as liquefied.
Liquefied mummy.
Mummy. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'll pass.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's crazy stuff goes on in that part of the world, man.
Yes. Yep. Definitely. Well, here's another one. This is actually in the Northwest. This is nowhere near as crazy as the last one. Oh, I got two good ones. Okay, so this one's just kind of interesting. Quirky. There's a place called Smuggler's Inn. It's in near Bellingham. It's a place called Blaine, Washington. And not surprisingly, there's a reason it's called Smuggler's Inn. It's like literally a stone's throw from the border. And every year, 60 people get arrested passing through the yard of the inn, you know, because it's 100 feet from the border, and they're basically crossing illegally. And most of the time, they're probably just whatever. They're just trying to avoid customs or something. But in this case, somebody actually rented a room. They'd been hired to pick some stuff up, go and hang out, and spend the night. When they went to bed, they were going to leave the case of whatever this stuff was, and then somebody's going to cross the border and take it into Canada. Turned out to be 24 pounds of cocaine, and they actually got caught while they were at the Smuggler's Inn. They're actually registered. They're in the, you know, and so it's like the name should have been a hint.
Yeah.
And then, so then the woman who got caught admitted, like, okay, yeah, somebody's supposed to pick it up. So then she did what she was supposed to do, you know, allegedly, right? She pretended to go to bed, left out the bag or whatever it was. And then they caught the guy, two guys actually, crossing the Canadian border to come pick up. And actually, so they all got caught. All in a place called Smuggler's Inn.
Well, there you have it. You know, you can't, girl, would you stop?
Sometimes, you know, sometimes you have to actually think about why
are we here?
What is the reason?
This is a bad sign. Would you, I can tell you, there's somebody there said, no, this is good luck for us. This is good luck.
Now, here's one. This is just crazy. Remember Tiffany from Newport Beach?
Yes, okay. I do.
Along
the same lines?
Along the same lines. Here, in Des Moines, oh, we should have brought this up with Tana, because this sounds like, you know, well, she's from Iowa. Do we know what part of Iowa?
No.
Yeah. Well, this all takes place.
It's only about this big, right?
Right, so. I know. So she's got to be somewhere close, because it's just not that big a state. In West Des Moines, the police department have arrested a guy who works at the Farm Bureau. And they have arrested him because he would go to the, he's a Farm Bureau vice president. Oh, no, he's a Farm Bureau IT kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And what he was doing was he was going through the database, the employee database, looking at the pictures.
Uh-huh.
Finding the attractive women. And then when everybody was gone, he would come back and piss on their chairs.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Is that gross? In this article, there's nothing about like why the guy was doing it. They haven't interviewed him or anything, but he would pick out the attractive females, and then in off hours he would come into work, go to their desk, and urinate on their chairs. This guy
caught. Dogs do that because they're marking their territory.
You're right. This guy's 59 years old, and he was fired when they found out, and then they alerted the police because they had it on tape. Employees first started complaining about stains on their chairs in October of 2011, and the surveillance cameras were installed in February. The value of the damaged chairs was estimated around $4,500. So that's a lot of
pay
pissing.
Restitution.
Now, in here somewhere in this article, they mention how they're not quite sure what they can charge him for. Except for, like, he's been fired because of misbehaving, you know, bad behavior. But they don't know if he's actually done anything illegal. But it's definitely wrong.
You know, there's some things you really should need a law for.
Yeah, I know. But you know how it is. You know the business. It's like, yeah. You got to charge them with something. Well, can't just be here because you know.
You do have vandalism, I guess.
Yeah. And then it's $4,500. You could make the argument, you vandalized up to almost $5,000 worth of equipment.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, pissing, you're going to have a hard time saying that was of a sexual thing, right? Yeah, I guess.
It's just a creep factor.
It's the creep factor, really, that's got everybody bothered. So, anyhow, I just thought that was worth sharing, because that was just... Just weird.
There's some odd ducks in this world, man.
There are. It's like the guy with the pig.
Yeah.
I told my wife that one last week, and she was just... Like, are you kidding me?
He can't make this shit up.
But what was really impressive is the guy was 77. I mean, yeah. The guy had it to him. I mean, he's just looking for some action.
Little pig action.
And he didn't harm the pig, like you said. He didn't harm it.
And his booking photo, he's just standing there all proud.
I wonder if he had to use Viagra. Something tells me he didn't.
You know, when he comes, you know, he goes and hangs out with the fellas and stuff, and you go, what'd you do this weekend? You go, yeah. Fuck some pig.
No, I mean, really.
You know, that's one of those guys, one of those situations where every time they interview somebody, they go, I just never saw it.
Yeah. Oh, here. So I was doing a little searching. This is the guy. Here's the picture of him. Remember? We could do pictures.
Yeah. And I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently he was charged, in this article they tell us that he was charged with second degree criminal mischief. I don't know what that amounts to. What's criminal mischief exactly? Up to no good?
It's misbehaving, man.
I mean, he definitely qualifies. I'm not going to dispute that.
It's not a California law.
I'm just curious, like, what's the definition of that?
Yeah, that's definitely one of those laws they have in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Criminal mischief.
We don't know exactly what he did wrong, but he's up to no good, and it's criminal mischief.
Oh, God. You know, the first story you talked about with the snake?
Yes.
That guy had died, that would have been classified as death by misadventure.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. That absolutely would.
Been perfect. Oh, Ginger here, man. She's settling in today.
Yeah.
She's settling in.
She's liking the studio.
Well, that about wraps it up for us. Next week, Swoops World Late Night, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Our guest is the band known as Sulfa City Sweetheart. And next week on Primetime, right here on a Thursday at 12 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, we have actress and director Michelle Danner. And we want to thank once again, Tana Frederick for joining us today. And all of you who tune in each week for Swoops World. Have a wonderful weekend, and that's going to do it for us today. Good day, all.
Good day.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.